He's a crazy, irascible, horrible, ghastly, self-opinionated, boorish, eccentric scientist. So you can see it's clearly perfectly cast to offer the part to me.
Ah, you must be Jones. I am Challenger. I've been reading your paper upon the reclaiming of the Sinai Peninsula. It's not without merit. Beneath the dullness of the diction, one does glimpse the occasional idea.
The two plays that we do, or the playlets, are only just scratching the surface. He didn't write an enormous amount about Professor Challenger, but you feel that the potential was there to develop it. And in much the same way as the Sherlock Holmes stories, you can kind of have offshoots of them and sort of little alleyways that you can go down. So the potential is there, I would guess, for many more Professor Challengers, but these are the first two.
Bill Paterson is Professor Challenger. Saturday nights in the Seventh Dimension at 6 and midnight.
You're leaving the Seventh Dimension. Sci-fi and fantasy, 6 p.m. and midnight, 7 nights a week.
That's it for today, but there's a whole week ahead of us, with the darker side of the border offering all manner of strange Scottish spookiness in some great dramatizations. And don't forget, later in the week, we have Edgar Allan Poe's The Fall of the House of Usher. And from Monday to Friday, we continue with Tom Baker reading Doctor Who and The Creature from the Pit. And if you've missed the first two episodes of that, remember you can catch up online with BBC iPlayer. Right, that's all from me, Nick Briggs, for today. I'll be back tomorrow.
The digital radio station for comedy and drama. BBC Radio 7.
Hello there, it's 1 o'clock. I'm Helen Aitken and you're listening to BBC Radio 7. We've crime drama on the way with Colin Dexter's Inspector Morse. Then at 2:30 it's over to Phil Williams for this week's comedy catch-up. Plenty to get you chuckling, including more from Hamish and Dougal, You'll Have Had Your Tea, and The Now Show, which is fresh from Radio 4. And tonight, in our crime hour, listen out for a sting in the tail. Mary Darcy's shocking story of revenge is at 8:30. But right now on 7, it's the 90-minute drama, and in Last Seen Wearing, Inspector Morse is put on a missing persons case.
Last Seen Wearing by Colin Dexter. An Inspector Morse mystery. With John Shrapnel as Inspector Morse and Robert Lennister as Sergeant Lewis. Dramatised by Guy Meredith. Featuring Miles Anderson, Melinda Walker, Donald Sumter, Francis Jeter, Terence Edmund, and Tamsin Grieg.
It's not just that it was someone else's case.
It was Ainley's case.
I realise that, but I think there might be others better suited.
You don't feel you owe it to Ainley, is that it?
With all respect, sir, not being of a religious persuasion,
Morse, Ainley is dead.
I'm as shocked and as sorry as anyone else here, but that won't help him, will it, for someone to take over his wild goose chase?
He'd amassed a considerable amount of data. If you took the trouble to look at the file...
He hadn't actually got anywhere, had he? In 3 years, he'd come nowhere near finding her. How am I supposed to...
Follow in his footsteps? With difficulty, I would have said, Morse, because I not only liked Dick Ainley, I respected him as a policeman. He was one of the best we had here in Oxford. Thorough, methodical, in fact, all the things you're not.
Well, in that case, why...
Because I'm telling you to. Because when I say I want you on this inquiry, that isn't a request, you understand?
Yes, sir.
The fact that you're used to dealing with murders is neither here nor there. No matter how far below your elevated status, routine police work goes on. And I want to do something for Dick's memory, even if it doesn't seem that important to you.
Look, sir, don't get the wrong impression.
I won't if you put your back into the investigation, will I?
No.
Now, you could start off by going through this file tonight.
Tonight? Ah, well, the thing is...
Yes, Inspector.
Ticket for the new theatre, Welsh National Opera. Parsifal.
Really? You know, Morse, if you had half the compassion for real people that you feel for a bunch of characters clumping and bellowing their way around a stage, you might find you measured up a lot better in your colleagues' estimation.
Yes, sir. Oh, one more thing, sir. I suppose there's no possibility that Valerie Taylor might be dead.
None at all, Morse. I think when you look at the latest addition to the file, you'll find that leaves it very clear indeed.
Of September. Dear Mum and Dad, just to let you know, I'm all right. Sorry I've not written before, but I'm all right. Love, Valerie. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
But it's only the end of the overture.
Yes, I know, I'm sorry. Will you excuse me, please?
Philistine.
Excuse me, sorry. Sorry to bother you of an evening, Mrs. Ainley, but I didn't have a chance to express my condolences at the funeral.
Ice, Mr. Morse?
No, just as it comes, please. And, no, thank you. Thought I ought to say how very sorry, how dreadful. I mean, we all felt what a tragedy it was.
Thank you. At least there was no one else hurt in the accident.
No. Suppose he was tired, working too hard.
That was Richard.
And the traffic on the M40? He'd been to London.
Yes. I don't know why. Monday was his day off, and the 1st of September, it was our wedding anniversary.
Mrs. Ainley. Irene, isn't it?
Eileen.
I shouldn't have come. I'm sorry.
No. It's all right. He was a good husband, but he could become so wound up in his work.
And you think he'd been working that day in London? That he'd been to see somebody, was following something up?
I'm sure of it.
But you don't know exactly what?
The Taylor girl. Something to do with the Taylor girl. He'd never let it drop, and then recently. Why do you ask?
Well, I probably should have mentioned this to begin with, but I'm taking over the case.
And you want to know if there's anything I can tell you?
No. I mean, that wasn't the prime reason for my visit.
Oh, don't worry. Richard was exactly the same. If a problem needed solving, he wouldn't let social niceties stand in the way.
Mrs. Ainley, Eileen... Please.
Well, there's nothing I can tell you. And even if there were, I don't know that I'd pass it on. I don't ever want to hear anything about that Taylor girl again. Can't you understand that?
I've been set up, haven't I?
Sir?
The Chief Superintendent, Lewis, he's determined to take me down a peg, and this is his way of doing it.
I'm not quite with you, sir.
Too many plum cases, that's what he thinks. You finished going through that file?
Yes, sir.
And...
There's not a lot to go on, really, is there?
No.
On Tuesday, June the 10th, 1990, Valerie Taylor leaves school to walk home for lunch. She eats it with her mother, and at 1:30 she sets back off for school again. Everything normal, everything routine. Except that she never arrives. And that's the last anyone's seen of her. And then this letter turns up from London last week.
Missing persons, Lewis. Routine, drudgery, check, double-check, interview, report. Pimps, pushers, prostitutes. In the end, what do you find?
You find the girl, if you're lucky.
How old is she going to be now, 3 years on?
Well, 19, sir.
Exactly. So she can quite happily tell us to get lost and stop bothering her. If no law has been broken, what on earth is the point, Lewis? Come on, let's go over the road for a drink.
But it's only 12:15.
Then we should get served with no problem. Well, one thing you can say about this place, they pull a decent pint.
Tomato juice isn't bad either, sir. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Though if you were after a bit of peace, we could have chosen somewhere different.
Hmm?
The roadworks.
Does it bother you? I've always felt a tinge of empathy with those labourers. Presented with an implacable surface, they have to break through and churn up the muck underneath. Just like us.
If you say so, sir. Now, as to the Taylor case...
Yes, go on. The brain cells are beginning to function.
Well, it strikes me that for all Dick Ainley's thoroughness, he's missed something important.
And what's that?
Well, he says that Valerie wasn't seen again after she'd left her house, after she'd had lunch with her mother.
So?
Well, the Roger Bacon Comprehensive. I happen to know it quite well because my kids are coming up to secondary school age.
Well, that's fascinating, Lewis, yes.
Yeah, well, one of the attractions is that they've got a lollipop man outside. You know, a chap with a white coat and a sign who stops the traffic.
Ah.
Now, Valerie lived down a cul-de-sac almost opposite the school. So when she leaves the house, she either has to hike over the fields next to the reservoir, or, if she is heading for London, come past the lollipop man, who, seeing the children at least twice a day, is bound to recognise her.
That's very good, Lewis. Did they put extra Worcester sauce in there?
It'd be worth talking to him, wouldn't it, sir?
Well, you get on to it. Are you carrying a photograph of the girl?
Yes, sir. Here.
Let's have a look. Well, you certainly wouldn't forget Valerie Taylor in a hurry, would you?
Must have been about 15 there, but you place her at least a couple of years older. God knows how she looks now. I doubt if we'd even recognise her.
Something of a femme fatale. You know, it's just struck me. If you wanted to bury a body, a roadwork trench might come in very handy, mightn't it?
I suppose so, sir.
Anyway, you get off to see your lollipop man, because I'm going to call a little higher up the school hierarchy.
Good of you to see me at such short notice, Mr. Phillipson.
Not at all, Inspector. When you said on the phone that news had been heard of Valerie, well...
It was only a brief letter.
Even so, it proves she's alive, doesn't it? Not that anyone here really doubted it.
Quite. How long have you been headmaster here, Mr. Phillipson?
Since Michaelmas term 89.
She vanished at the end of that academic year, so you had some chance to get to know Valerie.
Insofar as a headmaster has that much time to spend with the pupils.
What was she like?
Academically? Not above average, I wouldn't have said. Bright enough, but one of those children who don't see the sense in half the subjects they're taught.
I see. And unacademically? Well, that is, personally?
Well, there you'd be better off asking her form master. Or would be if he was still here. Mr. Acomb has left us, I'm afraid.
Well, that's unfortunate. You could, I imagine, identify her writing.
This is a letter. I think her parents would be rather more expert.
And I intend to ask them. You don't have any of Valerie's old exercise books.
We may do. If they're not taken home, they're kept for a while and then usually burned.
Burned?
In the furnace. Old-fashioned central heating, I'm afraid. But in Valerie's case, Baines would be the man to tell you.
The caretaker?
The assistant head. However, as luck would have it, he's not here either.
You haven't had a complete exodus of staff, have you, Mr. Phillipson?
No. Simply that, as part of his duties, Baines draws up the timetable and always gives himself the perk of Tuesday afternoons off. Which, of course, is...
Is today. Quite.
Well, I'm sorry I can't have been of any more help, Inspector.
Oh, but you can. If Valerie's exercise books were in the school, where do you think they might be?
Well, possibly in the storeroom.
Good. Then why don't you lead me there, and I'll take a look for myself.
You certain about that?
I
say, you sure of it?
No, listen, young man. My hearing may not be what it was, but there is nothing wrong with my memory. Anyway, I already told the other man. What were his name?
Ainley. Chief Inspector Ainley.
Oh, that's right. Told him so. Saw her, running past the crossing, carrying her satchel. Shouted to her as well, but she didn't reply. I don't think she did. But it was her, all right.
And then she disappeared round the bend in the road.
That's it. But I already explained it to him a while back. Before I had my accident. Did I tell you about the accident?
You did, Lewis. Joe. Yeah, but thanks very much for your time.
Oh, terrible thing, traffic. And you're right here in the firing line. Come on a motorbike.
Well, that took you a while.
Yeah, well, old Joe isn't the most direct of men. But it was worth it. Apparently, he already told Ainley that he saw Valerie coming out from Beecham Close after lunch. And yet Ainley makes no mention of that in his record.
Well, that's amazing.
I mean, what could he have been thinking of?
I'm not certain yet, but I've got one or two possibilities sketched out. Look, why don't you drive? I've got something to show you back at the office. Well, what do you make of it?
Well, it's a pretty useful find, isn't it, sir? If we've got one of our exercise books, we can check the letter's genuine. I'm sure handwriting changes a lot in 3 years, but...
Forensic will sort that out for us. What else?
She doesn't seem to be very good at French, does she? Not that I ever got much beyond the bonjour stage myself, but
From the amount of red ink...
Mr. David Akam, apart from the travails of a foremaster, seems to have had his work cut out with her linguistically. Try the last page.
Not good enough. See me after class.
Which, consulting the timetable I managed to wring out of the headmaster, would have been the final lesson she received, thus making Mr. Akam another of the last people to see her alive.
Alive, sir?
To see her in Oxford, if you prefer. However, before we pursue that, there's one more important lead to be divined from this exercise book. Yes, Morse.
It's Mrs. Ainsley. She's got something for you. We'd like you to call round to her house.
Call round to her house? When?
Well, as soon as you can.
Oh, God. All right, I'll see what I can do.
Is it fingerprints, sir?
What?
The clue from the book?
No. Look, would you mind going round to see Mrs. Ainley? She's got something for us, and I don't think I can face her again. I mean, you being a family man...
What difference does that make, sir?
Bad, you'll handle her better than I will, that's all. Anyway, it's about time somebody spoke to the parents, which onerous duty I take upon myself.
Very well, sir. Should I drop you off?
No, you go ahead. I want to go through Ainley's files again first and check exactly what is in there.
The truth is, I was a little short with Inspector Morse. When something like this happens, you try and carry on normally, but...
Between you and me, he isn't always the easiest character to deal with. I'm used to him by now, of course.
You're his human side, is that it?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Sergeant Lewis, I was married to a policeman for 15 years. And whatever their superficial differences, I think Richard had a lot in common with your inspector. I would guess he's secretive, that he gets wrapped up in his work.
This case certainly seems to be growing on him.
Just as it did with Richard. Which is why I thought you should have this. It's Richard's personal diary.
I see.
There aren't any great revelations in it, but... Well, on the day that he died, there is an address.
34 Brewerton Street.
It's in London, of course. I looked it up. Soho.
Well, that's very useful indeed, Mrs. Ainley.
I hope so. You know, I even thought of going there myself, to check it.
Why would you do that? This is police work.
Yes, I'm sure. Would you like another cup of tea, Sergeant?
No, thank you. But thanks once again for the diary. I promise we'll keep you informed of anything we turn up.
You're listening to... Through here, Inspector. You'll be more comfortable.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt your supper.
Not at all. Please sit down. Are you coming, George?
Haven't you heard of Hampshire disease?
No.
You'll have to forgive him. He doesn't lead what you'd call a sociable life.
Well, there's no rush. Your daughter was really a very good-looking girl, Mrs. Taylor.
She was, but that's not a photograph of her. That's me.
Really?
In my younger days, of course. Though I do like to think I look after myself.
Beg your pardon. But food's no good cold, is it?
Quite. Now, of course, I have Inspector Ainley's notes, but there are one or two points I'd like to clarify.
You go ahead, Inspector.
Now, in the first place, had there been any trouble in the family? Did she have any reason for leaving?
Not that I can think of. And I've gone over it that many times.
Mr. Taylor.
As my wife says.
So when she didn't come back...
We were distraught. We haven't got over it to this day. An only child, a girl of 16, but now at least the letter.
Yeah, yes, that's a ray of hope, isn't it? Mr. Taylor, what's your job?
I'm at the council refuse site, Walton Wall Road. Drive one of the bulldozers.
And you, Mrs. Taylor, do you work?
Well, I started just recently, stocking the shelves down at Tesco's part-time. You have to make ends meet these days, don't you?
Indeed. Well, I think that's it. I won't take up any more of your time.
Oh, we're not doing anything exciting, are we, George?
I'm certainly not.
But if you do find anything out, Inspector, whatever it is, you will let us know as soon as possible.
...0643?
Hello.
Do you realise what time it is?
Weren't sleeping, were you?
No, but my wife is.
Then we can speak more freely, can't we?
I don't think we have anything to talk about.
Oh, you'd be surprised. You really would. We should meet.
We meet quite enough for my liking, thank you.
We should meet after hours. It's possible you may receive a visit from the police.
I already have. This afternoon.
Really? Now that's what I call efficient. Let's get together tomorrow about 6, shall we? Just hang on till everyone's left.
Now listen to me. This is going to end. Damn it. Damn it! You bloody stupid fool!
Sir, what does it matter whether the aliens had a happy marriage? I mean, I don't see the point.
Curiosity, Lewis. Human nature. Isn't that what we're investigating?
I thought we were investigating the disappearance of a teenage girl.
The circumstances surrounding the disappearance of a teenage girl.
But Ainley's got nothing to do with that, has he? And his wife. I mean, she's been so brave about it, being alone.
You're a sensitive soul, aren't you, Lewis?
If you mean to take into account other people's feelings, then yes. It's not as if we're questioning the accidental nature of Ainley's death.
Agreed, but the fact remains that Ainley fell asleep at the wheel and veered off the road, indeed this road, heading in the opposite direction, while the very same day, someone posted a letter to Valerie Taylor's parents.
Valerie Taylor posted it. Forensic have confirmed that it's her handwriting.
As you say, someone posted a letter with handwriting extremely similar to the specimen we have of hers. Now, those two events, Ainley's visit to London and the letter, are either connected or they are coincidental. And I think you'll agree that coincidence seems somewhat unlikely.
I suppose so.
Thus, the question is, what did Ainley discover in London? Who did he upset? And what, after his 3-year quest, did he finally achieve?
You're not going to suggest that he was cheating on his wife with Valerie Taylor, are you?
No, I'm not going to suggest that for a very good reason.
I mean, every couple have their ups and downs. If you want the truth, I got the impression that the Ainleys might not have been ideally suited, but then you make the best of it, don't you?
Well, apparently you do, Lewis. Mr. and Mrs. Taylor seem to be doing just that as well.
Then what exactly are you getting at, sir?
I think that Ainley had become obsessed with his pursuit of Valerie Taylor, and perhaps, had he caught up with her, might well have fallen in love with the girl. But that became impossible, you see, because what Ainley discovered sometime shortly before his own death was that Valerie Taylor had been murdered.
You what, sir?
3 years earlier. Oh, stay on the Marylebone Road over the flyover. We'll cut down Great Portland Street into Soho.
How about you, lads? Want to see some beautiful ladies with nothing on? Hey! Oh, come on!
But, sir, how can she be dead? If the handwriting on the letter corresponds...
What exactly did forensics say?
Sufficient similarities to warrant positive identification.
Well, not exactly cast iron certainty, is it? If someone were only a halfway proficient forger...
But who would want to forge the letter?
Well, whoever took the other exercise book from the school storeroom.
Sir?
I told you there was something else about the French book, didn't I? Well, it had no dust on it. The one on top doubtless had 3 years' worth before it disappeared.
Come on inside! Continuous performance! They move, they're lovely, and not a stitch stays on.
You ever been to a strip club, Lewis?
What? No, sir.
This way, gents.
Well, given that this is number 34 Bruden Street, you have the ideal excuse. Two, please.
Yeah, but, sir, I still don't understand.
Lewis, shh, please. There is a show in progress. It's only fair to the other patrons.
Who are we here to see? Apart from...
The versatile Vera, I believe she's called. My God, could you do that with a snake?
Well, what, if anything, did Ainley discover here?
Not exactly sure. I think I know who he met. And it wasn't Vera, unfortunately, nor any of her colleagues.
Then who?
Well, I always thought these places were generally run by Maltese. However, we did pass someone with an Oxfordshire burr to their accent.
What do you mean?
And about 19 years old to boot. I think you'd better go and ask him if there's somewhere quiet we could talk. So, you're James Maguire, and you were in the same class as Valerie Taylor.
I told this to the other copper. I told him just after she disappeared, and I told him again a fortnight ago.
Are you good friends with Valerie?
No. Well, I mean, you know how it is.
We went out a few times.
Well, she doubtless saw a great future in you. When did you last speak to her?
Morning before she scarpered. We were in lessons together.
And she gave you no hint of what she was going to do?
You don't understand, any of you. She wasn't that easy to get to know. She treated you like a kid.
Nonetheless, you went to bed together.
To bed?
Yes, to have sex, to make love.
Well, yeah, a few times. Or twice, I think it was.
Twice? Did she have a lot of boyfriends?
Boyfriends, no.
And why did you split up with her? Did you ever fight?
Lewis.
So I told you, didn't I? She was sort of tolerating me till something better came along. Look, I got to get back outside. There'll be trouble if I don't. Besides, this room's used for the strippers.
Hey, what the hell's going on in here? I need somewhere to get dressed, you know.
Yes, miss. Yes, I think that would be a good idea.
All right. All right, let's go. Just one last question, Maguire. When exactly did Valerie tell you she was pregnant?
Pregnant?
She was, wasn't she?
Look, I'm not standing here with this strip of rubber around me neck. Oh, dear, I want you out now.
Yes, of course. My apologies, Miss Vera. Good afternoon. Good
afternoon.
Rather a disappointment, that, Lewis. From the auditorium, it looked like a real snake.
Can I ask you some questions now, sir?
Oh, Great Portland Street. Used to know an excellent pub round here.
We'll catch the rush hour going out, sir. You'll be stuck on the motorway with three pints inside you.
Very well, go ahead.
Right. For a start, how did you know Valerie Taylor was pregnant?
Simple, I didn't. It was a pure guess. Not much to lose, though, was there?
And you think that's what Ainley found out?
One of the things, yes. One of the many little facts about Valerie he was hoarding to himself.
So Maguire was the father?
Not necessarily.
But he said she wasn't seeing anyone else.
He said she had no other boyfriends. I believe he might have qualified that when you interrupted.
Oh. Sorry, sir, I didn't realise that.
Don't worry. I think I have an idea what he was getting at. Pitiful specimen, wasn't he?
Yeah, but murder. I mean, I still don't see... You don't think he killed her, do you?
Good God, no, he wouldn't be up to it. Petty villainy would be the most he'd ever aspire to.
Then who, how, and why?
They're classic questions, Lewis, and as yet unanswered. Oh, God, just give me 20 minutes, will you? There's always something wearing about the capital. And I think even the good Dr. Johnson would have found it permissible to be tired in London.
Sir?
Yeah?
Sir, we're here. Your flat.
What? Oh, God, you haven't let me sleep all the way, have you? I'll be up to the early hours.
Sorry, sir. You look so peaceful.
Oh, never mind. I dare say with a nightcap.
Sir, you were going to tell me. The evidence for thinking Valerie was murdered.
Well, the reservoir behind her house was dragged at the time, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. And nothing found.
Still, that's only the most obvious place to look. There are one or two other possibilities we might like to investigate. But it'll wait until the morning. Good night, Lewis. Du konntest morden hier, im heiligen Walde. You could murder here, in the holy forest, where stillness and peace surround you. Ah, Parsifal.
Why do you want me dead? Is it because you're more at home with the dead than the living?
What? What? Oh, God, I'm dreaming. Better go to bed.
Morning, sir. You're in Brighton early?
Eyes had I and saw not.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Six letters, anagram, I would have thought, wouldn't you? Oh, yes. Watson.
You've lost me, I'm afraid, sir.
How very appropriate. There. 10:35. Rather more than I allow myself for the times, still. Lewis, your face is pregnant with questions.
I've been turning things over most of the night. You did rather leave them up in the air yesterday.
Did I? They seem terrestrially anchored to me.
Only because, with respect, sir, you're a difficult man to shake out of his convictions.
Oh, really, Lewis?
If I could persist, sir, you haven't quite explained why, even assuming they were capable of doing so, anyone would want to forge that letter from Valerie.
You surprise me, Lewis. Must be any number of reasons which ought to spring readily to mind.
Such as?
Well, in the first place, the letter would seem to be, as you yourself have taken it for, convincing proof that Valerie Taylor is still alive.
But...
Which, of course, would put a stop to any investigations into her death. Investigations which Ainley may well have been on the point of beginning.
You're still basing this on the hypothesis that she was murdered?
Well, you asked me to justify my conclusions, Lewis, not to undermine them. There is, however, another possibility, completely the reverse, to wit.
Go on, sir.
That the letter was written in order that the case would be pursued. After all, even Ainley might have got fed up with it had not new evidence come to light. And this naturally postulates that the letter was not written by the murderer, but by someone who knew who the murderer was and wanted them brought to justice.
Rather a roundabout way of doing it, isn't it, sir?
Or else simply wanted to spur the police to more action than they were apparently taking. Valerie's parents, for instance, might fit that description. Plus, they should have been able to imitate their daughter's handwriting.
But they wouldn't need to steal an exercise book to do it, would they? Wouldn't need to, and wouldn't have the opportunity.
Excellent point, Lewis. I'm glad to see you're coming round to my side.
But, sir...
Whoever took the exercise book was most likely a member of staff. Now, in theory, that gives us rather a large number of suspects, but in practice, I think we can whittle them down fairly quickly.
The headmaster?
Yes, I'll be calling on him later. One more call to make first.
Yeah, and me, sir? What am I supposed to do?
Take a seat. Those paraffin cans ain't too uncomfortable once you get used to them.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Taylor.
Hope you like it strong. Have you any news?
No, I'm afraid not. I've actually come with a few more questions.
Go ahead, then. Sugar's in that cocoa tin.
Right. You're an even-tempered sort of man, aren't you, George? Not much puts you out.
I don't see much point in losing me rag all the time. Wife's a bit more volatile, right?
Is she? Tell me, how'd you meet?
We were drunk. Drunk as lords, both of us. A street party it was. Remember the Silver Jubilee?
And you sobered up and stayed together, Well, you're a lucky chap, George. She's a fine-looking woman.
I know it.
Tell me something about Valerie. Before she disappeared, had she been coming home late?
She was that age, weren't she? Never after 10, though. I made sure of that.
She wouldn't stay out all night.
No.
And, how much pocket money did you give her?
£3 a week. The wife sometimes gave her a bit more when she won at bingo.
I see. Look, George, I've got to ask you this. Did you know Valerie was pregnant before she disappeared?
Have you got a family, Inspector?
No, I haven't.
Well, you think of most things. Why she might have gone. And that was one of them that occurred to me. But it doesn't matter if she was or she wasn't. What's important is whether she's alive or not, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there is the letter.
Yeah. Yes, there is that. Well, I'd better be getting back to the bulldozer, or they'll have me off the job. Anything else you need, Inspector, I'm here, or at home.
Well, you've been a great deal of help, George, and thanks.
Sausage, mash and beans, please.
None of your nouvelle cuisine here, eh?
What?
You'll get fat, you will.
Not as fat as you, sitting behind that front desk.
Same again, please.
There you go.
You think dealing with the public's relaxing?
Well, at least they tell you what they're after. Not like working with old Morse.
Oh, so you haven't found the missing girl yet?
And we're not going to. Not alive. That's what he's convinced of. Won't listen to anything else.
So, you've got your personal solution to the case, have you?
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly. But I reckon there's one or two avenues he's leaving unexplored. And I wouldn't mind having a little look down them myself, as soon as I get the chance.
I'm afraid Mr. Phillips has gone home early this afternoon, Inspector.
But perhaps I can help. Reginald Baines, second master.
I'm pleased to meet you. I was hoping to talk to you sooner or later.
Of course. If you wanted to pop into the office for a minute or so.
Well, I'm not sure a minute or so would quite cover it, Mr. Baines.
Ah. Problem is, I've got a class at 3:15. And then there are preparations for parents' evening, followed with unremitting logic by the evening itself. Which is why the head's taken the opportunity for a break.
I see. Then perhaps we'd better make an appointment.
No, certainly. I'm sure tomorrow would be fine. Or else...
Yes?
Well, I don't know if you like a drink, Inspector, but once parents' evening is over, I'm usually fairly desperate for a pint. Of course, you probably have commitments.
What time would that be?
Say, 9:00?
White Horse, across the way.
Oh, perfect. And if you're in a hurry to see Mr. Phillipson, I'm sure he wouldn't object to your looking him up now. Do you have his home address?
Mrs. Taylor? Mrs. Taylor?
Yes, what is it?
You're wanted on the telephone. After that, could you stock up cereals on aisle 3?
I've already been told.
And try not to be too long. This phone is meant for customer use only.
All right. Yes, Gwen Taylor. Look, you shouldn't phone me here, you know that. No. I can't. Not tonight.
Well, that's a lovely house you have, Mrs. Phillipson. I'm sure you're extremely proud of it.
Oh, yes, indeed. We've been very lucky.
Where were you before? I mean, before you moved here.
The Home Counties. Surrey. Inspector, I'm sure my husband will be with you shortly. I heard the bathroom door.
Well, there's no tearing hurry. Is this, this a staff photograph?
What? Oh, yes, from Donald's first term. There was a party.
He's fairly young to be a headmaster, isn't he, your husband?
Nearly 40. I don't think that's terribly unusual these days.
Well, perhaps. And is Acom here? The French master?
Yes, there.
And the young blonde lady's his wife, is she?
Yes. Now, if you'll excuse me, Inspector,
I'm sorry, Inspector. I wasn't expecting a visit. If you'd phoned first...
Well, it's hardly worth it. I won't take up much of your time.
I'd better go and oversee Natalie's practice.
I was just saying, Mr. Phillipson, what a lovely house you have. I'd no idea teaching paid so well.
I also have a regular income from a history textbook. So, what was it in particular you wanted, Inspector?
Just one thing, really. To know what you were doing on the 2nd of September this year. It's just over 2 weeks ago.
Without consulting my diary, No, wait a minute. I can tell you. I was at a headmaster's conference for 3 days at a hotel in London. Why do you ask?
Because it was the day Valerie Taylor wrote to her parents.
I'm not sure I see the relevance.
Well, probably none at all. Well, that's it, Mr. Phillipson. Oh, by the way, where did Acom go when he left your fold?
David? Carnarvon, I think. Yes, one of the schools in Carnarvon.
When was that?
The end of my first year. I'm sorry, Inspector, but I really ought to be setting off for the parents.
Yes, yes, of course. I dare say I can get Mr. Acom's address from your secretary, can't I?
I can give you the date pretty well to the day. She left Oxford on Tuesday, June the 10th.
1990.
Well, I know, but these places must keep records.
Well, the official ones do, but some of the backstreet clinics, well, they're hardly clinics at all.
If you could just check out the registered centres, that would be a help. Maybe starting near Paddington. After all, if she arrived there on the train...
You know, when I transferred to the Met, it wasn't so I could spend my life doing favours for old pals.
Frank, any time you want anything from Oxford...
Half the world doesn't come to Oxford for abortions. All right, then. Give me a few days.
You are a friend indeed. Mm. Oh, and listen, if you do find anything, come back to me and not to Morse, would you?
Why? Are you trying for promotion?
No, but...
Lewis?
I'd better go, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Yes, sir.
Work. Investigation. Now, where's that diary of Ainley's?
Here, sir.
Let's see exactly how busy he was.
Sir, I've been having a few thoughts.
Oh, yes.
Well, Joe the lollipop man, remember?
Yeah.
He said Valerie was carrying a satchel. But if she wasn't going to school, she could have been packed for a short trip.
Yes, here it is. 15 St. Buno's Road, Carnarvon. And a phone number.
Sir?
Acom. It's a pity you're so far away. Still, we'll make a preliminary contact. Give me the phone, will you, Lewis? What were you saying?
Well, I've had some ideas, sir, on how we might try to follow Valerie's trail in London.
Lewis, I've told you Valerie Taylor is dead. Don't you understand that?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Now, look, I've got an important job for you in the morning. Get down to the Registry of Births and Marriages, check when the Taylors were wed and who Valerie's father was.
I'm not with you, sir.
The Queen's Silver Jubilee was in 77, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when they met. Valerie would have been 20 this year, which means she was born in 73.
She's illegitimate.
Unless Mrs. Taylor had a previous husband. Now, off you go, back to the family. I can handle everything else for this evening.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Hello?
Hello, yes, yes. Is that Mrs. Akam?
Yes.
Could I have a word with your husband, please?
No, I'm afraid he's not here. He's in London, on a language conference.
Conference. It's amazing any teaching ever gets done.
I'm sorry.
Nothing. When'll he be back?
Tomorrow evening. Fairly late, I think. Can I take a message? Tell him who rang?
No, don't worry. I'll phone again tomorrow. Sorry to trouble you.
No, that's all right. Goodbye.
We have to have this thing on every night.
Why not? Oxford News. Don't you want to know what's happening in the world around you?
I go out to discover what's happening in the world around me. Pity you don't do the same.
If I could afford what you spend on bingo. Not to mention getting yourself all dolled up.
It's my own money. That's what I've got a job for, isn't it? There will be no job
losses at the plant as a result. Didn't always have a job, though, did you?
What do you mean?
Always spent a lot on yourself. But didn't always have a job.
£800 million. The German company has been quick to...
There's nothing to keep us together, is there?
And other plants that jobs are
nothing.
Not threatened by the sale. The
deal I'm going the out. Means that there will no longer be a British
mass... Well, cheers, Mr. Bain.
Call me Reg. All the kids do behind my back. What can I do for you?
You can answer a couple of delicate questions, if you don't mind.
Try me.
Right. Now, how long have you been... second master at Roger Bacon Comprehensive?
Nothing controversial there. 5 years.
So when Mr. Phillipson was appointed, you were...
Yes, I see. In the running,
yeah.
Quite.
But you were both interviewed and
he won the day. So how did I feel about it? Mm. More strongly then than I do now, if you want the truth. Of course, I would have liked to finish my career with a headship, but when I got over the disappointment, I realised I wasn't so badly off. I'm not married, I don't have huge outgoings, I don't need the extra money, and I have the satisfaction of knowing that in many ways, the second master is the linchpin of the whole school.
Well, you could still apply elsewhere.
No, not at my age. I'll be pensionable in 5 years. And as I say, I'm happy. Why disrupt my life?
Strikes me, though, that Mr. Phillipson may not have got over that brief competition quite as easily as you have.
What makes you say that?
May as well be honest with you. It's the way he refers to you behind your back. He calls you Baines instead of Mr. Baines. I mean, even Akam, who's not here anymore, he calls David.
You're following up the Welsh trail, are you?
Not at the moment, though. I've spoken to his wife. Do you know them well?
Naturally, when they were here, they both worked at the school. Though she was a little young and inexperienced, just helped out with the French part-time.
Really? And taught Valerie?
I don't think anyone taught Valerie Taylor very much.
Getting back to Phillipson, though, are you aware of any animosity?
Let's just say he's not the most forthcoming of men.
Yes, I've noticed that myself. Which makes it all the stranger that he got the job, doesn't it?
Not really. He's a bit of a name. Written a standard textbook. These things count for a lot. But you said you had a couple of delicate questions.
Yes. The other one concerns Valerie Taylor directly. As you say, you're involved in pretty well every sphere of school life, so you must have come across her.
Taught her maths for 2 years, though she never seemed to take much in. Had to report her to the head more than once for willful ignorance.
Is that so? Tell me something frankly. Would you have classified her as a flirt?
Not easy to say. She was outgoing, certainly, and attractive, but...
But she found the boys immature,
You're very acute, Inspector. I don't know where you've been piecing your information together from, but... Yes. Is that all?
Yes, that's all. Same again.
No, not for me, thank you, no. I'm afraid I should go. Still got some marking to do before the morning. Good evening, Inspector.
Evening. My round, I think.
You awake?
Yeah.
What's the matter? Look, if it's the same old thing...
Where were you tonight?
You know where I was, the open evening. Sheila, you don't have any reason to be jealous.
It's going to come out. It's all going to come out.
No. I've already spoken to him. I've told him enough is enough.
You've stopped him?
Yes. I'm sure I have. Trust me.
Mr. Morse, you're looking for me. I'm here.
Who was it? Who did it?
Do you want me too? You can have me.
No. No, you're dead. You're buried.
Let me show you my face.
No.
Yes. And my body.
No, no. Please.
Only dead 3 years. I'm in good shape, wouldn't you say?
No. No. Oh, God.
Oh. You were right, sir. Father unknown, mother married George Taylor when the girl was almost four.
Well done, Lewis.
It was your insight, sir.
I suppose so. Where does that get us?
Another piece of the jigsaw, surely. We may not be able to see the whole picture
You're
yet.
A good man, Lewis. I don't value you enough, do I?
Sir?
I'm sorry to have been a bit short with you yesterday. You're right. I get a theory in my head, and I'm not inclined to listen to other opinions, so if there's anything you feel we've missed...
Well, sir, if you put it like that...
I mean, the fact that Valerie was illegitimate is interesting, but...
She was going to have an illegitimate child herself, sir. Let's not forget that.
Like mother, like daughter, sir?
Well, what I thought we could follow up is the fact...
The question of who the father was. Well, naturally, I've considered that.
Actually, that isn't what I was going to say.
Johnny Maguire, I think, is out of the question. You remember I asked him how often he'd been to bed with Valerie. First of all, he said a few times, then he changed it to twice. The fact is, I don't believe they'd indulged in carnal knowledge at all. Maguire was caught between bragging about having seduced the school beauty and not wanting to get involved.
Then who?
Maguire said she didn't have any other boyfriends. Baines agreed she found boys immature. Now, who does that indicate?
Someone older?
Yes, good, keep going.
Not the headmaster.
Well, why not?
Would be crazy, wouldn't he? I mean, it's more than his job's worth. As I think you'd say, defecating on his own doorstep.
Elegantly put. And it's an aspect of the problem which bothers me. Phillipson is pushy and ambitious, but I'm sure he's hiding something. He said he knew nothing about Valerie personally, but Baines told me he'd sent her to the head several times.
But if Baines was picked for the job of headmaster, he'd have a reason to try and smear Phillipson's name, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would, but I don't know. I quite liked Baines, perhaps on the grounds of similarity. An aging bachelor resigned to second best.
There's no need to take it that hard, sir. We've only been on the case for 3 days.
But it's turning on its head, Lewis. I mean, to start with, I was convinced Valerie was killed, but now I'm not so sure.
Really, sir? What made you change your mind?
Do you know Parsifal, Lewis?
No, sir.
Wagner's last opera. Based loosely on the character of Sir Percival, who, you will remember, searched for the Holy Grail.
Yes, of course, sir.
Well, Valerie is our Holy Grail. But perhaps she had a Holy Grail of her own. A basically bright teenager, bored by school, who wanted something more out of life. I mean, she'd have every reason to flee her stifling surroundings, wouldn't she? And want to stay hidden.
So you do think she wrote the letter herself?
Well, it hurts me to admit I may have been wrong, Lewis, but... But yes, I'd like to think she was alive.
Well, I'm glad, sir. For a while there, I thought you were turning a bit morbid.
You're not the only one. Hello, yes, Morse.
It's Reginald Baines, sir.
Yes.
Found murdered at home.
What? When?
We're not sure.
Is there someone at the scene?
Yes, there is, sir.
Tell them we'll be over in 20 minutes. How can he?
What is it, sir?
It's Baines, at his home. Been found dead. Murdered. With a carving knife.
Yes, someone was very lucky.
Not Baines, presumably.
I don't know, difficult to stab a man in the back, you see. You've got to miss the spinal column and the ribs and the shoulder blades, and even then it's not easy to do it in one. He must have been bending down to the fridge, leaning slightly over to the right. And then it was like going through a joint of beef.
Thanks for the simile. Time of death?
Anything from 16 to 20 hours.
No, not that long.
Oh, been reading up on our pathology manuals, haven't we?
I left him at 9:30 last night.
Oh, really? Then perhaps you're the prime suspect.
Can we have the boy now, sir?
As far as I'm concerned, yes.
Yes, me too. Lewis, where's Lewis?
Just careful. Yeah,
the super's just giving out the name and bare details, sir.
He feels publicity will help.
Did you phone the school?
Yes, sir. Phillipson was pretty shocked, but he'll make a general announcement before it hits the papers.
I'll go off with the ambulance, Morse. Leave you to interrogate yourself.
Callous bastard.
When you do nothing but inspect corpses, it probably warps your sense of humour. I know you said you got on with Baines, sir.
But I wanted a murder, didn't I? And I got one, sir. Serves me right. Now, whether the same could be said for him, God, the amount of blood that comes out of a human body.
Yes, sir. Sir, I found this.
What is it?
Address book. One of those that clips under the phone. I haven't looked through it.
Well, we'll take it back with us. You better go through the kitchen drawers, check whether that carving knife lives here.
Sir, no prints anywhere, I suppose?
Only his. Do you know something about Baines, Lewis? I liked him when I met him. What's he left behind? A pokey house overlooking a railway line and a couple of shelves of maths textbooks. You sometimes wonder, don't you, whether you'll leave any more.
Sorry, sir.
Never mind. A new approach to trigonometry.
Sir, there's a carving knife here with the rest of the cutlery.
Then we can safely assume the murder weapon came in with the murderer. Do you know much about modern maths, Lewis?
Do the kids' homework most nights, sir.
Now, what are we looking for? A man answers the door. It's someone he knows. Otherwise, why would he let them in? Maybe he knows them quite well, because he goes to fetch them a drink from the fridge. He bends down.
Sir, these maths books.
Lost on me, Lewis. My education was classical.
No, sir, it's just... They're not all textbooks, are they?
Hmm?
Here, in the middle. This is an exercise book.
What? Careful, Lewis. It's not been brushed. Thumb and forefinger.
Yes, sir. I mean, it may not be, but...
It is. Valerie Taylor, fifth form. Put it on the table.
Yes, sir.
No, wait. There's something inside. A couple of loose sheets. Shake it. Now, what have we here, hmm? Oh, dear, Lewis. This rather changes everything.
Do they read exactly the same, sir?
Exactly. Just to let you know, I'm all right. Sorry I've not written before, love, Valerie.
And you reckon they're practice drafts?
Writing's a bit shaky, but it's not bad.
Then? Oh, I don't know, sir. This is beginning to lose me.
One thing's for sure. Valerie's sojourn in the land of the living has been brief. If Baines popped down to London on his afternoon off and sent the letter, she's almost certainly dead.
Now he's joined her. But why?
I'm not sure. But I'm increasingly certain there was a romantic connection between Phillipson and Valerie. And if Baines knew about that... But then how could he? Unless... Wait a minute, the Station Hotel is the nearest pub, isn't it?
Well, yes, sir, we've just passed it. But given that we're carrying evidence, I'm not sure we should stop
off.
That's
not what I'm getting at. Do you know, I think I could tie Phillipson and Baines together quite nicely.
Meaning Phillipson murdered him or him and Valerie?
That I couldn't swear to. But I think we should bring Phillipson in for a talking to.
Oughtn't you to clear it with the super first, sir?
That's exactly what I intend to do. As soon as we get back... If Valerie found herself pregnant, what's the first thing she'd do, hmm? 20 years ago, her mother went through with it. Times have changed. Or maybe they haven't. But someone with her sights on the high life isn't going to settle herself with an unwanted child, is she? So she'd probably...
Have an abortion, sir. That's what I was trying to tell you.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have the money to pay for it herself, so where would she go, hmm? Mother seems to have a bit of spare cash from the way she looks after herself. But would she part with it? And even then, it would take someone to organise the trip.
London, sir.
That's where she goes.
Someone a bit more worldly. Someone she had a hold over.
But if you don't think Phillipson would have compromised himself as headmaster...
Not while he was headmaster, perhaps. But he must have been to Oxford at least once before, mustn't he?
You've lost me again, I'm afraid, sir.
I'll explain in front of the superintendent, Lewis. I can amaze both of you at once.
Harry?
I must confess, I'm looking forward to this.
Ah, Morse and Lewis. That's most opportune. There's someone here who wants to see you.
Mrs. Phillipson.
I've come to confess to murder. To the murder of Reginald Baines.
The reasons I had for the killing are not, in my view, strictly relevant to the criminal proceedings that will be brought against me. About the details of the crime, too, I wish for the present to say nothing. I am aware that the question of deliberate malice and premeditation may be of great importance, and for this reason, I wish to notify my lawyer and to take the benefit of his advice. Do you want to sign this?
Yes.
Sir?
What the hell are you asking me for?
Mrs. Phillipson.
Thank you.
Sir, if I might have a word outside.
Make it quick.
A policewoman will be here shortly to take you down to the cell, Mr. Phillips.
Well, Sergeant?
Sir, we can't hold her. Not on the basis of this.
A confession plus corroborating evidence? She went to Baines's house.
We can't be sure of that.
She certainly got a babysitter in at an odd time of night, 9:30. And we'll no doubt find the taxi driver she claims took her there and back.
All right, I'm prepared to admit she went there. And, if the door was open, maybe even went in. But killed him? What with what motive?
That's the sort of thing your clever Inspector Morse should sort out, shouldn't he? Where is he now?
Round at Phillipson's house, sir. Trying to put some sense into this whole business.
Well, in that case, we'll keep her locked up until things look a bit clearer. If she is inventing all this, she deserves a bit of harsh treatment.
Why doesn't she want to see me, even? That's what I can't understand.
Can't you, sir?
Well, I'm trying to keep it from the kids. Trying to maintain a feeling of normality.
Because this is, after all, a very normal household, isn't it?
What do you mean by that?
It's what you've been straining after, not just these past few hours, but, shall we say, for 4 years.
What are you getting at, Inspector?
Why do you think your wife confessed to killing Baines?
I've really no idea. If I knew...
I think you know perfectly well. And it's only cowardice that's stopping you telling me.
I beg your...
Baines was blackmailing you, wasn't he? Don't bother to deny it. It was only a vague hypothesis until I saw your wife this afternoon. But now I'm certain of it.
Blackmail?
Yes. Because he spotted you and Valerie Taylor together at the Station Hotel on the night you came to Oxford to interview for your current job.
But...
I haven't perused the register of the Station Hotel on the grounds that you probably signed yourself Mr. Smith or something equally ridiculous. But if we were to go down and see the manager or any other member of staff who'd been there a while, I dare say they'd remember you, wouldn't they? An older man checking in with a young girl and then out again in time to catch the last train home. Now, why don't you tell me about it?
I don't know what to say.
The truth will suffice.
Yes. Well, it was more or less like that. I didn't realize how young she was. She looked at least 3 years older. And I certainly had no idea she was at the Roger Bacon Comprehensive. I'd just missed a train. Gone out for a walk and it started pouring with rain. That was the last thing I needed. I felt I'd messed up the interview completely, and also Sheila and I had been going through rather a rough period. I took shelter in a shop doorway, and she... Valerie was there, as well. She was a breath of fresh air. Someone I didn't know, someone attractive, outgoing, interested, We went for a drink.
At the station hotel?
Yes. It was the nearest place, and then perhaps if I'd been completely sober...
You think she was leading you on?
I can't blame her, can I? It's just that after a couple of whiskies, she seemed... She was available. And I, to my eternal shame, took advantage of that.
You had no idea that Baines had spotted you?
No, I was completely wrapped up in Valerie. It was only later...
How much later?
After I'd started here. Obviously, I hadn't interviewed as badly as I'd thought, or else the others, including Baines, had done worse. He'd seen me before the interviews, of course, and then, as luck would have it, I'd walked into his local.
And he began asking you for money?
Yes. It wasn't a great deal. It went up slightly over the years, but no more than I could afford with ease. It was the power it gave him that seemed equally important.
So you paid up every week or every month. And inevitably your wife found out, and equally inevitably your marriage grew even rockier. And you took solace with Valerie again.
No! I wouldn't have done that. Sheila had stood by me, and besides, headmaster...
Yes. So you weren't the father of the baby Valerie was carrying when she disappeared?
Who told you that?
But she did come to you to set up the abortion, didn't she?
No, she didn't. All right. I knew about the pregnancy.
And you knew who the father was.
You haven't worked that out?
No, and I don't need to. Because you're going to tell me. Because if you don't, we will not only take a drive down to the station hotel, we will then go and see the chairman of the board of governors for the school and complete the work which Baines left undone. Well?
It was Acom. David Acom.
I knew my husband wouldn't be back from the open evening until late. Probably about 11 by the time everything was cleared up. So, it was my one opportunity. It was 10 minutes to that awful man's house by taxi, and when he opened the door...
He opened the door, or was it already open?
Yes. Sorry, you're right. It was already open.
Yeah.
So I went in, and... Well, you know the rest.
What about the knife?
The knife?
The one you used to kill Baines. Where did you get it from?
From home, of course. We always keep a spare.
Nonsense. Absolute bloody bunkum.
Yeah, well, I managed to convince the chief of that, sir, in the end, which is why I let her go. Of course, she could still be a vital witness.
Yeah, she went to the house, I'm sure of that. Probably to plead for her husband's career. Then she found the door open as she corrected herself.
Went in, saw Baines lying there and assumed Phillipson had done it.
Yeah, perhaps. But more likely not. Or she would have come and confessed last night. See, in the dark, Baines wouldn't have been visible from the front door. So it's probably a combination of the door being open and some sixth sense that something was wrong made her turn and go. And it was only when the news came out today that she put two and two together to make five.
Then you don't think Phillipson killed Baines either?
I wish I did. It'd make everything a lot simpler. He could have got the knife from the school canteen and maybe left the open evening early. But I don't know. There's no metal in him. He looks bustling and efficient enough, but I've seen more spirit at a teetotal reunion. Oh, do you have any luck with the bank statements?
Yes, sir. I've got them here. And there's something else interesting as well.
Hang on, one thing at a time. Hey. Ooh, yes. 2,000 in his deposit account and, there's 40-odd in the building society. It's a fair amount, isn't it?
It is to me, sir.
But for a comfortable retirement, Baines might have hoped to live till he was 90, mightn't he? What was the other thing?
Well, sir, you remember the address book?
Yes, is Acom's name in there?
Well, it is as it happens, sir, but that's
Baines
not...
knew Acom, Baines knew everything, because he was the second master. Therefore, in all likelihood, Baines knew about the pregnancy.
It's another number that's interesting.
I think a visit to Mr. Acom is of prime importance. I'm sorry, Lewis, go on.
Well, it's just that in Baines' address book, aside from the usual numbers you'd expect, there was one scribble without a name. So I thought I'd ring it up.
And?
It was Tesco's on the Banbury Road.
You mean he has his shopping delivered?
No, sir, you're forgetting. That's where Mrs. Taylor works.
Oh, good God, yes. You know, Lewis, I think we'd better split our forces tomorrow. I'll take the long drive up to North Wales.
while you concentrate on this end.
Oh.
I'll go.
No, she'll settle. Won't you hear? I thought. I really thought.
I know. Sheila, I don't deserve you.
I went to his house. I wanted to tell him exactly what he was doing to us. And then...
Sheila.
All I could think was, if you had killed him, we'd lose everything. But perhaps the police or the court would have pity on me.
Sheila, it's over.
Yeah.
It's all finished. Come here.
Haydn's Quartet, Opus 64, Number 5, The Lark, played by the Gabrieli String Quartet. It's almost 11 o'clock, which gives me a moment or two to tell you about this afternoon's opera.
Langothland,
Verdi's Rigoletto is a tale of drama and intrigue at the court of Mantua.
As well as being something for the long drive
back. You probably
back.
Already know the story. It revolves around how the ill-fated court jester inadvertently has his own daughter killed.
Everyday tale of...
The passions of love and hate run high. Disguise leads to tragedy as the wheels of fate grind inexorably on.
Wait a minute. No, no, surely not. It's worth checking, though, isn't it?
In the first place, I'd like to know what you've got me in here for. I'm not a lady of leisure, you know. I work afternoons.
I understand that, Mrs. Taylor.
And fingerprints? What am I supposed to be? Some sort of criminal?
No, it's simply a way of eliminating you from inquiries.
What inquiries?
Do you read the newspapers, Mrs. Taylor? Listen to the radio?
Not if I can help it. The world's a far too depressing place.
Then you don't know that Reginald Baines is dead.
What?
Reginald Baines, the second master at the school at which your daughter was once a pupil.
Yes. Dead.
Killed. Sometime the night before last. We found your phone number at his house. Your phone number at work, that is. I've checked with your supervisor and she confirmed that you received a call from a man who wouldn't give his name on the afternoon of Baines' death.
But I... You're not saying
I'm not saying anything, Mrs. Taylor. I just want to know what your connection with Reginald Baines was. Excuse me a moment. Yes?
Lewis. Lewis, it's me. I'm in a call box. I don't have a lot of change, so just listen.
Mm-hmm. Have you got Mrs. Taylor there?
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's one or two things I want you to ask her in addition to whatever else you were trying to push. First off, I want to know her exact movements that lunchtime Valerie disappeared.
Yeah, but, sir, you don't really mean... Yes, the lollipop man may be short-sighted as well as deaf, but... Look, I don't know if she's getting hysterical or what, but I bet... Yes. Yes, I promise I'll go into that, sir. Yeah, I'll wait here for you to get back. Yes, goodbye. Mrs. Taylor, are you all right? Would you like a glass of water or something?
I'm fine. I'm better than ever. You'll probably find it out, so I might as well tell you. I was old Reggie Baines' mistress.
I see.
Hated the bastard but couldn't break away. Now...
Mrs. Taylor, before we go on, could we clarify one or two things?
He used to pay me. I needed the money right enough, but...
When did it start, this affair?
Oh, that's not important. Who'd want to kill him? Any number of people, I should think.
Mrs. Taylor, were you there on the night that he died?
Eh? No. He wanted me to come round, but that was one night I really did go to bingo.
Well, I dare say we can check on that. Mrs. Taylor, there's one other line of questioning I want to pursue. And I warn you, you may not find it nearly so amusing.
Come on, if the dog's there, so are you. Why don't you go and eat your tail?
Hello? Who is it?
It's Inspector Morse, Thames Valley Police. If you open the door, I'll show you my identification.
Well, it's rather awkward. I was just in the bath.
Could you hold it up to the glass?
Is that Mrs. Akam?
Yes.
Here.
Oh, well, that seems fine. Look, I'll go and get dressed.
No, don't bother. I just need the address of your husband's school. I wanted to speak to him. I assume he doesn't come home for lunch.
No, you'll find him there. It's East Golf and Gadis Senior Secondary.
I beg your pardon?
Hold on, I'll write it down for you.
Yes, okay, thanks. You don't still teach then, Mrs. Akam?
No, I couldn't find a post. I do a little private tuition.
Oh, well, vote them here, I suppose.
I'm sorry?
I said Fodomir.
There you are, Inspector. I've drawn a sketch map of how to reach it. The school.
Look here.
Oh, whoops! Oh, oh, sorry, I found a larger tower.
No, that's quite all right, Mrs. Akam.
Well, better get back to the bath. Or I'll catch my death, won't I?
Yes, you probably will. Well, thanks. Thanks for the map.
Oh, no, not at all. Nice to have met you.
Phew. Morse thinks what?
Well, it's only a theory, and he gave it to me over the phone. But there is a certain amount of evidence to support it. You see, there was a likeness between Valerie and her mother, at least in the last photograph we have of the girl. And the fact that the lollipop man at the school...
The lollipop man?
...who crosses the kids is getting on a bit. Well, he could easily have mistaken Mrs. Taylor for her daughter, particularly if Mrs. Taylor was trying to foster that illusion by, for instance, dressing in Valerie's clothes.
Why would she do that?
Because she just killed her.
What?
Well, not on purpose, but in an argument. She does have quite a fiery temper. And then perhaps panicking, trying to cover up...
That doesn't sound like panic to me.
No, sir. No, but if she was attempting to buy time until her husband came home, until she could dispose of the body...
Dispose of it where?
Well, that does fit in rather neatly, sir. George Taylor worked at the municipal rubbish tip.
Have you put all this to Mrs. Taylor?
Not directly, sir. But I got her to admit that she wasn't at all happy about Valerie's pregnancy, having made that mistake herself.
Well, that's a long way from murder, Lewis, or even manslaughter. And without a body...
Well, of course, if the inspector's theory is right, it would still be possible to find the body. All the remains.
By digging through 3 years of city waste? Lewis...
I imagine it's owned, sir. And if you know more or less when it went in, then you could actually...
I don't know, Lewis. Given that the letter was a forgery, I'm prepared finally to go with Morse on the fact that Valerie Taylor was killed. But by her own mother?
Well, domestic crimes aren't exactly unusual, are they, sir?
All right. Let's both have a word with Mrs. Taylor.
Excuse me, sir. Sorry to interrupt, but I've got a message for Sergeant Lewis.
Yeah?
It's from Sergeant Rogers at the Met, about abortion clinics.
Thank you, Dixon.
So, Inspector Ainley did come to see you, Mr. Akam.
Yes, a few weeks ago. I'm sorry to hear of his death.
Well, you'll also be aware that your ex-colleague, Mr. Baines, has been murdered.
There was a short item on the radio news yesterday while I was driving back.
From your conference in London. Yes, cool. Can I ask you what Inspector Ainley came to see you about?
He'd found out that Valerie Taylor had become pregnant shortly before she disappeared. And that I was the father.
Oh, clever old Ainley. So that was why you left Oxford for Carnarvon, was it?
Yes. Phillipson the Head gave me no option. And he was quite right.
A very principled man, Phillipson. I won't go into exactly how you got Valerie pregnant.
The usual way. She was an attractive girl, and I fell for her hook, line, and sinker, I'm afraid.
When did your wife find out?
When she came back from a cancelled evening class.
And discovered the two of you together. Oh, dear, Mr. Akam.
Oh, dear, indeed.
You know, I really wish I'd met Valerie Taylor. I'm beginning to see why Ainley became so obsessed by her.
She was quite something, I can promise you.
What happened after your wife's discovery, after Valerie told you she was pregnant?
I think you can imagine my wife's reaction. She left me for a while, went to live with her mother. But eventually we saw it was better for us to carry on, and we've more or less patched it up.
Hmm.
She gets a bit bored here, and she's learning to drive. That'll give her more freedom. As to Valerie, She didn't want anything from me. But I gave her a couple of £100. It was all I could afford. The clinic she fixed up herself.
You gave her the money on the morning she disappeared?
Yes.
What do you think happened to her?
I have no idea, Inspector. But I should think she's sitting pretty somewhere. She was too quick on her feet for anything to go too badly wrong.
I'd like to think you're right, but I fear you're not. Look, Mr. Rackham, you've been very frank with me, and by way of return, I want to ask you a few blunt questions.
Go ahead.
All right. One. If word got around Carnarvon that you had a history of interfering with schoolgirls, no matter how precocious, it would finish you here, wouldn't it?
It would finish me as a teacher everywhere. I couldn't go much further afield.
Good. Right, two. Was Reginald Baines trying to blackmail you on that score?
Yes, he was. I received a letter from him last week.
In that case, did you drive from London to Oxford and kill him?
No, I didn't. I could probably provide you with an alibi for that night, though I'm not sure. Some conference delegates may have seen me in the hotel. Is that it?
No, one more. But you've already answered it, more or less. Did you murder Valerie Taylor?
Valerie? Oh, no. No.
And then they let you go?
Yes.
They don't think you killed this Baines chap, then?
George, do I look like a murderer? You've been married to me for 17 years.
Never really known you, though, have I?
Sorry. I haven't played fair with you from the beginning, have I? Since we met, and all I could think of was that I needed a father for Valerie.
But I loved you. And I loved her.
I know you did. Oh, George, maybe from now on things could be different. I could try. I could make an effort to be a better wife. Why don't we go down to the pub together tonight?
We never talk about Valerie.
We'll talk about her. And then we'll talk about us. What do you say?
The East Chelsea Nursing Home.
Yes. She signed in under her own name on the 11th of June, 1990. She left the next day. I tried to tell you that I was running a few checks.
Don't worry, Lewis. Given my success rate on this case, I'm hardly in a position to feign injured dignity.
You don't think Aiken killed Baines, then?
No. We'll check alibis and so on, but he just seemed too honest.
Well, someone killed Baines, though, and we're running out of suspects.
To tell you the truth, I'm beginning not to care who was responsible. Baines was the worst sort of manipulator. The world's better off without him.
That's not like you, sir, giving up on a case.
It's been a long day. I'm tired.
But Valerie, sir, there's still a question of her, isn't there? If she left the clinic, she's probably alive and well somewhere to this day.
Then good luck to her. If I had her address, I'd send her all this information we've amassed from school reports onwards and call it quits. What time is it?
9:30, sir.
Well, I'm going home. I suggest you do the same. The wife will be worrying about you.
Yes, sir.
Have I disappointed you, Lewis?
A bit, sir.
Well, that's life. The truth is, we've never got to know Valerie Taylor, and we never will. But considering how Inspector Ainley ended up, perhaps that's no bad thing.
Do you want to know where I am? Here I am. Here I am.
Where are you?
Morse.
Who are you?
Here I am. There you are, Inspector. Do you want to know where I am?
Wait.
Here I am. I'm sorry, Inspector. Morse. Oh, whoops. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want me, Morse?
Faute mienne. Faute m...
I'm sorry, Inspector, to know where I am. I'm here.
What? Yes. Yes, of course.
I wasn't actually asleep, sir. Just a light doze. When you put in a double...
I'm not here to check up on the night staff, Sergeant.
Well, what are you here for, sir? These 4 a.m.
I've seen it somewhere. It's in this folder. Yes, here it is.
Should I get you a coffee or something, sir?
Look at that. 4th-year school report. Applied science and technology. Excellent work. The one subject Valerie Taylor was good at.
Excuse me, sir.
Do you honestly think, Sergeant Dixon, that someone with an interest in mechanics would fail to take out a driving license as soon as they could?
Well, I'm not sure, sir.
Well, she's got one. I'll bet my boots on it. Look, ring Lewis, will you, Sergeant? Tell him I'll pick him up in 20 minutes.
Phone him? What, now?
Yes. Say we've got a long journey ahead of us. You just have to think about it, and it's absolutely perfectly clear.
This isn't another one of your intuitions, is it, sir? There isn't an opera plot involved.
Look, why was Mrs. Taylor going to bed with Baines all that time?
Well, for the money, apparently. I know it seems a bit sordid.
But how did it start? Have you considered that? I mean, did he just lean over the table at a parent's evening and say, what are you doing on my Tuesday afternoon off?
No, sir, I suppose...
He had a hold over her, didn't he? As he had or wanted to have over so many people. He was certain Valerie was alive and well, and the whole missing persons nonsense was a waste of police time. Valerie had left with her mother's consent.
But why, sir?
Because Mrs. Taylor wanted her daughter to have a better life than she had.
Wait a minute, sir. You're saying that Mrs. Taylor and Valerie may have been in touch all these years?
It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Undoubtedly without Mr. Taylor's knowledge.
And Baines would get to know that as well and extend his hold over Mrs. Taylor. No wonder she hated him.
Doesn't seem unfair, asking for payment under those circumstances, does it? As for the famous letter, it may have been Mrs. Taylor who asked him to forge it. She knew Valerie didn't want to be found by the police, and Ainley was getting perilously close. But it suited Baines's purposes too. If Valerie was found, he couldn't blackmail Acom.
Why not? And could she have been found?
Oh, yes. I found her, Lewis. I've looked her in the face. Or to be precise, not exactly in the face. She has quite a developed figure.
I'm lost, sir. You talk, I'll listen.
The real Mrs. Acom was a young woman, and maybe looked younger than she was. Valerie Taylor was a younger woman, but definitely looked older than she was. Mrs. Acom was a blonde. Valerie Taylor, when I saw her, was a blonde, but though I have to admit it wasn't the hair I was looking at, it was undoubtedly bleached.
But when did you see her?
Now, of course, it's possible that Mrs. Acom forgave her husband for his amour fou. But it's much more likely that she never came back from her mother's and is living there still. Acom, striving for respectability in North Wales, where they don't even drink on Sundays, needs a replacement. And he's got one to hand, hasn't he?
Valerie Taylor.
Given that Carnarvon isn't everyone's idea of the bright lights, perhaps she really had fallen in love with him.
What are you doing? Why are you dressed? What's the time?
David, it's finished. It's been wonderful, but it's over.
What do you mean?
I'll just be a danger to you now, and to myself. I'm leaving.
No.
I don't have anything on my conscience. You've looked after me these 3 years, and I think, in the last few days, I've looked after you.
Valerie, I need you.
I'm sorry. I have to go now.
She murdered Baines?
Oh, yes. Drove down to Oxford while her husband was in London. She must have hired a car, of course, so we can check that. And given that Acom deliberately told me she couldn't yet drive, he probably had a pretty good idea what she'd done.
But how did you know she was Valerie, Mrs. Acom?
That's the simplest part of all. The real Mrs. Acom was a French teacher. The one I met, rather like yourself, Lewis, couldn't grasp the simplest phrase.
Merci beaucoup, sir.
De rien, mon brave. What's the time?
7:45. Oughtn't we to alert the local force?
Protocol demands it, but on the other hand, this is our case, isn't it? I want to see Valerie's face, and I will look at the face this time when we walk in.
Well, I hope she doesn't make a habit of wielding kitchen knives.
No, Lewis. She was driven to kill Baines, and not just for one reason, but two. He was threatening to blackmail her husband, or the man she'd been living with, and he'd messed up her mother's life, as Mrs. Taylor must have communicated to her. It was a crime of passion. She won't strike again.
I trust not. But I'll probably let you go in first, sir, if you don't mind.
Someone's at home anyway.
Car's still in the garage, sir.
And it's too early for the local car hire to be opened.
Something's just struck me, sir. In killing Baines, Valerie did for Akam exactly what Mrs. Phillipson intended for her husband. Put herself in the firing line in order to save his skin.
I know, Lewis. Women, I'll never understand them.
Yes?
Mr. Akam, you can hardly have forgotten me. I've come for Valerie.
Have you? Then you're going to be a disappointed man, Inspector.
Why?
Because she left. Walked out. Half an hour ago.
Which way? Where was she headed?
Somewhere all of us are going to have a lot of difficulty finding her. Though you could try, I suppose. If it's really that important to you.
Where's a beautiful young lady like you gone at this early hour?
London. Where else?
All right, come on, man. I'm in.
Thanks.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman. Give him all your love to just one man. You'll have bad times, and you'll have good times, doing things that you don't understand.
Last Seen Wearing by Colin Dexter starred John Shrapnel as Inspector Morse and Robert Lennister as Sergeant Lewis. Donald Phillipson was played by Miles Anderson, and Sheila Phillipson, Melinda Walker. Gwen Taylor, Frances Jeter. George Taylor, Donald Sumter. Valerie Taylor, appearing as Mrs. Akam, was played by Tamsin Grieg. Reginald Baines, Terence Edmund. Chief Superintendent Strange, John Hartley. Mrs. Ainley, Oriel Smith. Johnny Maguire, Paul Panty. Sergeant Dixon, Lyndon Gregory. David Akam, David Jarvis. Joe, James Taylor. Versatile Vera, Emily Wolfe. Police Surgeon, Don McCorkindale. Sergeant Rogers, Michael Onslow. The Radio 3 announcer, Katriana Young. The theme music was composed and performed by Wilfredo Acosta. Last Seen Wearing was dramatized by Guy Meredith. The director was Ned Shire.
Next week, Morse tackles the murder of an invigilator in a foreign exam syndicate. The Silent World of Nicholas Quinn, the feature-length drama, next Sunday.
Arthur Conan Doyle's Professor Challenger stories are dramatised for the very first time here on BBC Radio 7.
Who is this, please?
My name is Challenger, Professor George Edward Challenger.
Bill Paterson talks about playing the leading role.
Like Sherlock Holmes was. He's based on one of Conan Doyle's teachers at Edinburgh University. And so this is why they ended up casting it with me, because there's a feeling that he was based on a Scottish academic, and that's why it came pointed to me. I mean, if you read it on paper and you see the bluster of the man and the fact that he's got a colossal beard, you immediately think Brian Blessed. So I guess Brian was a bit busy that week. It's come down to me.
I'm standing on Hengist Down in Sussex, in the middle of nowhere, really. Right next to me is a curious monument. This monolith marks the site of perhaps the most extraordinary and dangerous scientific experiment ever carried out in this country.
I was very intrigued about doing the challenge of the first one, which is the idea of waking up the planet Earth, because his philosophy, this is what Arthur Conan Doyle was putting forward back in turn of the early part of the 20th century, was that the planet was a living organism. And I just finished playing a character in the play Earthquakes in London at the National. And I was playing a character who was a sort of malignant form of James Lovelock, or the Gaia theory. Now, James Lovelock's theory is that the planet is a living organism that is going through the changes that all organisms go through, and we are, as human beings, are a mere irritant on the surface of that organism.
I am engaged just now, Jones, in the greatest scientific experiment in the history of the world, and I ask for your participation.
I'm honoured.
Yes, you are.
The idea that this pretty modern concept of the late 20th century was being echoed by Conan Doyle 100 years almost earlier is utterly fascinating. So that's really what, when the script came to me, I thought, my goodness me, this is an early, gloriously hilarious comic version at times of the Gaia theory, that the planet is alive and living, and we are just mere irritants on its surface.
Bill Paterson is Professor Challenger. Saturday nights in the Seventh Dimension at 6 and midnight.
Sounds great, that. Listen out for it next weekend. Now, time for your weekend comedy catch-up. Enjoy.
The digital radio station for comedy and drama. BBC Radio 7.
Well, thanks there to the lovely Helen. Hello and welcome to the comedy catch-up. I'm certainly not lovely, but I am Arthur Smith. This Sunday, why not get into your motorised armchair? I do know a chap who's got one, by the way. And join me travelling the length and breadth of the British Isles and beyond, and even into the universe, as we catch up on a choice selection of the week's radio comedy. We'll go time travelling with David Jason in the Jason Explanation. We'll head to the grim north, Bonnie Scotland with Hamish and Dougal. We visit the Lord of the Manor with the great Viv Stanshall. We'll also be joined by Andrew Maxwell if he gets here on time. But first, from 2001, we take a peek inside the MOD with the help of Martin Jarvis, Peter Capaldi and Fiona Shaw. She's brilliant. I saw her in a Beckett play once. Fantastic. It's the first episode, anyway, of our Brave Boys.
Right, Saturday the 27th of October. Well, that's my first month at the Ministry of Defence done. Not at all what I expected, really. I suppose it's not having worked with the military before. Dad still doesn't understand. He rang last night to see how I was getting on. He kept saying, "But what does an assistant undersecretary actually do?" How do I explain? He doesn't know about policy making or why we have to spend such an enormous amount of time writing convincing answers for defence ministers. I tried to explain. He just said, "Oh." I must admit, I thought this was going to be a sinecure after trade and industry. I'm learning that the defence ministry is never like that, especially my outer office. Four guys. They don't wear uniforms, but they're so military. I bet they even iron their wife runs. Immaculate. Shiny shoes and haircuts. Our brave boys. My brave boys. But sometimes they really are amazingly thick. Perhaps I'm misjudging them. After all, we take them out of their natural habitat. We hide their uniforms. And we give them 2 years working with civil servants. And we are far more their natural enemies than the Russians ever were.
Morning, George. Sorry I'm adrift.
Good morning, Commander. Oh, that's all right.
George?
Mm? You've sharpened all your pencils. What's happened?
Well, actually, Bill, I had a bit of a set-to with
Zelda?
Afraid so, old thing.
Not again. New brooms and all that, but this is getting ridiculous.
She hauled me in.
Colonels don't get hauled in, George. Not by assistant under-secretaries. Isn't that what you have generals for?
I explained that this is a Monday.
Coming back from the country day.
Exactly, Bill. We all know that.
Your very own 08 Dubs from Exeter.
Always in by 10.
Or soon after.
Well, certainly by 11-ish. She said, this is the Ministry of Defence, not sheltered accommodation.
Except for senior civil servants.
She actually said that Mondays are the same as other days.
She's a spinster. For spinsters, they are.
According to Chief Petty Officer Greaves, she was in before he was.
Well, he'll get up his frock. He thinks he invented the Dawn Chorus.
It's not funny, Bill.
It's a power thing. They all get it, especially at her age. Ambition's very ugly in a woman.
Mm. Terribly abrasive. Actually, of course, that can have... Well, it has a certain charm. Very pretty eyes, you know. Green. You noticed?
You've got the hots, George.